When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart.
Hi, this is Chaplains Timothy Burdick
and Stephanie Burdick,
and we'd like to welcome you to the Visions of Love podcast, reaching out to the spiritually and physically blind throughout the world.
Hello everyone, and welcome to our podcast. Today we are very honored to bring you a special treat. This is an interview with a Christian author, Robin Lee Hatcher. She has written over 80 Christian books, and she is here today to talk to us about her writing process. We really enjoyed this interview, especially Timothy, since he is a bit of an author himself. We really hope you will enjoy this interview too. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.
When it's all about you, it's all about you. Thank you.
To contact us, all you need to do is go to mynvm.com.
NVM is an acronym for New Vision Ministries.
If you want to contact us, there's a contact form on the website. Or if you don't know Christ or need prayer, please call 507-369-6861. Thank you.
And now for part one of our interview with Robin Lee Hatcher.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. We're honored today to have Robin Lee Hatcher. She's a terrific writer that we really enjoy. And so we just wanted to introduce her to you. If you don't know her, or if you do, enjoy her writings. She's written a new book, and she's going to tell us about that. Before she goes into that, I want her to introduce herself.
Well, thanks for having me. You bet. I can tell you a little bit about myself. I've been publishing since the 1980s, and my 91st book will release next week. So it's been quite an adventure. When I wrote my first book, I really wasn't thinking about a career. I just had a story I wanted to tell, and I wanted to see if I could write it. But God knew, and I wasn't at first published in the Christian market. God had to get a little bit more a hold of my life so that I was ready to write stories that would honor Him. So I published now over 60 books in the Christian market.
Wow. Well, can you tell us about this new book, please?
Sure. The new book is To Marry an English Lord, and it's set in Eastern Idaho on a cattle ranch, and the English lord of the title is Sebastian, and his father is an earl and wants him to get married and produce an heir, and he has really always wanted to visit America, so he tells his father that he'll come to America for a year and then he'll return to England and marry a suitable woman from the aristocracy. But of course, when he comes to the Idaho ranch of his friend he was in at Eaton with, He meets the friend's sister, Jocelyn. So the plans for marrying an English woman kind of go out the window from there.
Wow, that sounds really interesting. It sounds like something I need to read. What I was really interested in is you said on your website that you first thought about going into acting, and you know, I wondered if you could tell us a little bit about that.
Well, sure. I'm a, you know, people often ask if I've always wanted to be a writer. I've always loved books, but I didn't really think about being a writer. What I am is a storyteller, and that comes out in multiple ways, not just writing. At first, it was on the stage. So I did some performing in junior high and high school, but then in my 20s, I joined a theater troupe for, oh, I don't know, probably about 5 years we were together. I remember I played Everyman. We did the Everyman play. I was Wisdom, and I was Death.
Well, can you tell me your story about the Oregon Trail? That's great.
Oh, yes. That is one of my favorite stories to tell, actually. I tell people my storytelling career began when I was 10, and I told my fifth grade friends that my mom was born on a covered wagon coming west. And, of course, where I grew up here in Boise, Idaho, you can just go out in the desert and you can walk in the ruts made by the wagons. They're still very
wow.
Some, if
really?
You go to the right places on the Oregon Trail, you can still find pieces of wagons, you know, metal pieces and so forth. But the ruts are very visible. And still all these years later, they don't go away. That's how carved into the earth they were. So the Oregon Trail was a real part of my imagination. I mean, it was part of my own, it felt like part of my own history. And my mom was 37 when I was born, so she was 47 when I was telling that story. So I tell people it was very believable to me that she was born on a covered wagon, because 47 was as old as dirt. So, and of course, I also say that my mom lived to be 96, so I had a lot of years to find out just how young she was.
How does the story... how does the acting relate to your writing?
I think it was just another form of entertaining people. And I mm-hmm. think that that's part of my nature, to want to entertain people, to want them to feel things, to want them to experience something new. And so when I did start writing, I was still in the theater troupe, and I had to make a decision because I was a young mom and I had a job, and there are just only so many things you can do.
Uh-huh.
And so I had to make a choice, and so I chose writing, and I gave up doing any theater work. I'm not sorry. I love what I do. I'm very blessed to get to do what I do. I love spinning stories. I love telling both historical stories and contemporary stories. Some of my novels are very issues-driven, you know, things like alcoholism in a Christian
right.
home and those types of things. And some are just for pure fun and sometimes even whimsy. I just think I can explore all kinds of things in writing. And, of course, a writer, you can live a million different lives. Actually, so can readers. That's the beauty of stories, is that you
yeah,
can
exist. Yeah.
Any place and
true.
Any time.
That's true. Well, you know, that leads me right into my next question, because I have learned so many things just by reading Christian novels. And I was wondering, what are some of the most important truths that you try to convey?
Oh, that's a tough question. I will tell you that every story is so unique. The characters are very real to me. You know, when I begin to think about them, they sort of, I don't want it to sound too what I call woo-woo, but the truth is that they sort of walk into my imagination with skin. They're very real people to me. So each of them have their own issues. So, of course, each individual story has truths that come out, and I'm guessing for most Christian writers this would be true, whatever we're going through, whatever our own current search for knowledge in some area is going on, it's going to work its way into the book.
I understand that.
I would say that second chances is probably, and the overwhelming, ever-present grace of God is probably a tent over all of my books, because God has forgiven me so much, and not just, you know, like when I got saved, but again and again. And so I understand that God just doesn't give you a second chance or a third chance or so forth. He's there. He pursues us. He's the running father. I always feel bad that most of our English translations, they tell the story of the prodigal son, and that's how they had that. And I believe that that story actually should be the running father, because he runs to us. He pursues us. He comes after
us.
That, I think, is a tent over all my work, that God continues to pour grace out upon us. And, you know, I was talking with someone recently about some of the things that I believed as a young Christian, and how I took Bible texts out of context. And so I had things misconstrued, and the things that you learn over time. And I recently went to see the first three episodes of The Chosen season 4, and the disciples were bickering over something, and Jesus was kind of at his own separate campfire listening, and I thought how he must have, I didn't really see him in the show, I'm not saying he didn't, he may have, but shook his head. But I think listening to his children then and now, he must do a lot of head shaking.
When
are you going to get it, kind of thing. And we only live so long, and then he has new ones coming along.
Like, hey, guys.
Yeah, I think that that's something that I want to share it too, is that we don't have it all together. We don't get saved and suddenly know everything and have it all right. It's a journey. And as long as we're on earth, we'll keep learning and growing.
Well, how do you make the characters in each individual book come alive? Do you just do different things all the time, or do you act out any of your characters? Or
I don't act them out, and many of my writer friends actually see their stories like movies in their mind. They kind of see the scenes. I don't really do that. The only way I can describe it is that I'm an intuitive writer, and I feel the story in my gut. That's not a very satisfying answer, but it's the only way I can describe it. As these people become real to me and I explore their backgrounds, that's one of the things that I do, is I get to know who they are because of their past before the book ever opens. And as you do that, you also will understand their motivations. And if motivations don't ring true, if a writer just makes a character do something, it will never work for the readers.
Because how do you go about getting to know them?
One of the things I do is I do first-person autobiographies, kind of stream-of-consciousness writing. You're not allowed to stop and grade it, and you know, because as writers, we're very critical of our own work anyway. And so we're always picking at it. And so one of the things in these is to just let your imagination have fun. And so I just can't stop and go back and change things. It's just sort of write this for fun. This isn't for anybody else. This is for me.
I'm
exploring.
Yeah, that's interesting. So basically what you're saying is that you can kind of feel things, feel the ups and downs, because your writing is pretty suspenseful at times.
Is it? I never think of myself as suspenseful, so thank you for saying that. I'm not actually very analytical of my own work. I don't think of myself as humorous. I think my stock in trade is probably more apt to make people cry than to make them laugh. So it always delights me when something I've written makes people laugh. Because I love to laugh, but that doesn't seem to be what naturally is the type of stories that I tell. It is indeed.
Yeah. All about you.
That concludes part one of this interview. We hope that you're enjoying it, and please stay tuned for part two of this interview in 2 weeks. Thank you.
You've enjoyed this, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. God bless.
Thank you, and God bless you.